Lord willing, amen. And if you have your Bibles, and I know that you do, please meet me at Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 3. Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 3. When you get there, say amen. If you need a minute, say wait a minute. Amen. Oh, well. Oh, well. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, beginning of verse 3, and it reads, "He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds, fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. Verse 6, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Verse 7, other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still, other seeds fell on fertile ground, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as he had planted. Verse 9, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. If I could tag this text this morning, it would simply be called Serving God Faithfully. Serving God Faithfully. Matthew 13, it's the first time that we see the term or the word parable. This form of teaching with parables marks a significant change in the way Jesus would teach the audiences from now on. And the word parable, P-A-R-A-B-O-L-E, para, which means beside, and balo, which means throw or cast, is literally a throwing beside or placing of another thing by the side of another. The metaphorical meaning is to place or lay something beside something else for the purpose of comparison. A spiritual or moral truth would be often be expressed by laying it alongside, so to speak, a physical example that could be more easily understood. A parable is a story that seeks to drive home a point by illustrating it using a familiar situation of common life. A parable is a teaching device in which the principle is concealed and the truth revealed, giving the hearer sight, then insight. The parable is a blessing to those who are willing to listen, but to those who are dull, with dull hearts and ears that are slow to hear, the parable is often also an instrument of both judgment and mercy. Here in Matthew 13, Jesus tells us the parable about a particular field that received the same seed from the same sower, but produced different results. One would assume that if the same place, if someone received the same seed from the same sower, that the results would be the same. But somehow in this parable, Jesus tells a story about how a particular field received the same seed from the same sower, but something different happened in the results. This parable sounds much like our churches. Have you ever wondered how many people can gather in the same sanctuary, hear the same sermon from the same preacher, and leave different with different results? Jesus provides the answer to this question by informing us that the production of the field is predicated on the condition of the soil. In other words, the effectiveness and impact of the sermon is directly connected to the condition of a person's heart. No matter how good the seed is, no matter how good the sower or skill for the sower is, if the person's heart is not right, it won't be able to produce. The question I want to ask today is, how is your heart? The field in our text talks about four different types of soil. And just like the field, there are four different types of people sitting here under the sound of my voice. First, there's the some have, number one, found on, fallen on the wayside or the wayward hearts. These are the people that are on the outer edges of the field, and their hearts have been hardened by sin, and the word can't infiltrate their heart because Satan comes right by and snatches the word, keeping it and not allowing it to do and make a difference in our lives. You ever wonder how you could be sitting in church and then all of a sudden somebody says something to you? That's the enemy using, being used to snatch the very word that is intended to make a change in your life. The second type of person is stony or rocky hearts. And this person receives the word with joy, but it doesn't have any depth. And they don't have deep roots because when the storms of life come, the joy is gone. And they can't endure and they fall away. You ever seen someone coming into church and they're so excited for the word of God and all of a sudden you don't see them anymore? That's because the winds of the storms of life came, and because they're not grounded, they're not deep enough, their roots aren't deep enough, they're easily fall away. Third type of person or heart is the thorny heart. They receive the word, but it's quickly choked out due to the cares and the concerns of this world. And the lure of riches and luxuries of this world are more important than them doing kingdom building. The fourth type of person is good ground or good heart. Those are the ones that are open to not only receive the word, but also let it apply the word to their lives. These are the ones that experience transformational change in their lives. And in order for the word to work in your life, your heart must be prepared and open to receive the word of God. This was Jesus's message concerning the soil, but today I want to highlight and focus on the sower rather than the soil right now. Because where the soil uncovers the condition of the heart, the sower reveals the commitment of the heart. And it's a commitment to be faithful wherever God plants or places you. I think it's important and necessary for us to examine and appreciate the sower, who is Jesus Christ. But Jesus has planted our pastor and first lady here for 27 years to sow seed to different types of soil here at ABC. God selected and planted pastor and first lady here at ABC. And you know pastor's first name, George, means farmer. There is no coincidence why God would place a farmer here at Knifetown for 27 years. For 27 years, he's been faithful to the call and the cause. And he has given of himself sacrificially in his time, his talent, and his treasure. I know it hasn't been easy. He's had some ups and he's had some downs. He's had to endure hardships and challenges along the way. He's watched uncommitted people that started on fire leave when times got hard. But through it all, he's learned to trust in Jesus. He's learned to trust in God. And 27 years later, our pastor is still standing. He's still preaching. He's still putting his hands to the plow. And I believe God has a work still for you. As a matter of fact, the verses we already have said, that I have not seen, nor ear has heard, neither is entered in the heart of man, the things which God has prepared to them that love him. And I know somebody is thinking, it hasn't happened yet, but if you only knew what God was working on behind the scenes, and if you only knew what God was doing behind the curtain, I think you would keep your mouth shut. God is doing something that you cannot see right now. And pastor, I want to encourage you to continue to be faithful in the field. And this message is not only for Pastor and First Lady, but it's for us at ABC. We need some committed people that are all in and committed to the end. Because these days, people choose to do their own thing. They play in other things rather than coming to church on Sunday. People's minds are different. They're in a different place. Amen. They're not committed as they're used to. But if you're going to be faithful in the field, we have to learn how to overcome some obstacles. Amen, somebody. And the first obstacle that we see here is we have to avoid the threat of discouragement. We have to avoid the threat of discouragement. Discouragement comes when we don't see the results that we wanted to happen. When we get setbacks instead of experiencing forward momentum or progress. And if we're not careful, this can give us a sense of unhappiness and fatigue. But the Bible tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. God wants us to trust him and his promises, even when we don't see the results. So often, many of us are moved by what we see, but you got to stand on what God said. Amen, somebody. If God said he's going to bless you, if he said he's going to increase your territory, stand on his word and not what you see. So often, we're sightseers. We look and get discouraged about what we see, and God says, you took your eyes off of me and you looked on your circumstances, but I need you to take your eyes off your circumstances and look to the hills to which cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord. God wants us to look at his standard, his promises, and not the results, even when we don't see the results. Pastor, the reason why you've been here faithful in your position is because you have been standing on God's promises and keeping your eyes off of your problems. And just like the text, the sower continues to do his job, which is to sow seed. But if we're not careful, we would think that's all the sower does. Yes, his primary purpose is to sow seed, but it's not his only responsibility. And in order for the sower to be effective and efficient in the field, he has to first cultivate the field. Cultivation or soil refinement is the act of digging into or cutting up an existing soil bed to better prepare it for planting. Soil cultivation involves three main steps. The first step is plowing. And plowing involves breaking up the earth into clods and turning its surface so that everything on the surface is buried and vice versa. This is a fundamental step, especially in the case of soil that has been compacted or firmed for several years. I don't know about you, but when God knew what he was doing to place a farmer here at ABC, because many of us have some compacted issues and things going on in our lives. He has to first plow. He got to start digging. He got to keep plowing over those rough edges. You know some rough edges that we got. Things that have built up over and over and over the years. You know, the cussing, the lying, the manipulating. He got to keep digging and plowing over that stuff. The lack of trust, the lack of anger and hatred. God got to continue to plow over and over and over those things. And if the ground is not plowed, there is a risk that you only cultivate the topsoil without reaching the deeper layers. The reason why he has to continue to go over and over and plow it, because there's some deep edges, some things that he got to uncover. He got to expose and bring to the surface so that it can bear and plant and produce something. But not only is it plowing, but we see there's tilling. And tilling is a mechanical process that takes soil from below the ground and brings it to the surface and breaks it up or loosens it. Tilling can be done manually or with a motorized tiller. And the tiller, if you've ever seen it, has blades or whatever at the bottom of it. And after he does the plowing, there's some parts of the field that need more extra attention. And he puts the till on the ground and has to till and start breaking up some things. Some bad relationships has to be broken up. Some bad attitudes have to be broken up. Some bad ways of thinking have to be broken up. And tilling is intended to make the soil soft in order to maximize the growth of your crop. Some of us are too hard. You are Christians, but you're still mean. You need some more tilling to go on. You gotta display God's love. You gotta display His character. Not only do we see the plowing and the tilling, but we also see the leveling, which prevents water stagnation due to depressions or height differences. And it's possible to overdo it. So it's critical that the farmer knows when and how to cultivate the specific soils in order to provide the best environment for the crops to thrive. Pastor, God has, through your years, God has given you wisdom to know when to do more and when to pull back. He's giving you wisdom when to put your foot on here and when to take it off, to level us off so that we don't overdo it and not be able to thrive properly. Being a sower is more than what you see. It's more than just him coming on Sundays morning, standing up, and Bible studies on Wednesdays. You don't see behind the scenes how much plowing and tilling and leveling he has to do behind the scenes. You don't see him praying on his knees, praying and asking God for direction. Amen. That's going on, which you don't see behind the scenes. You don't see him praying and asking God to reveal his vision for ABC behind the scenes. It's more than just Sunday and Wednesday. They don't see you praying for people, calling them out by name. They don't see that behind the scenes. They don't see you visiting the sick behind the scenes. They don't see you counseling people and marriages behind the scenes. And if we're going to be honest today, there's some marriages that would have broke up if you had not talked to the pastor. You don't see what goes on behind the scenes. He continues to perform weddings, funerals, and bar mitzvahs. Amen, somebody. Behind the scenes. But he continues to recruit. You don't see the recruiting and the texting people behind the scenes. All while dealing with his own issues and burdens at the same time. He hears your problems, but he has to also deal with his problems the same way. He gives so much out, and yet he doesn't always get what he deserves back. First Timothy 5:17. First Timothy 5:17 says, "The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy, double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching the word of God." Warren Wisby says, "If pastors are faithful in feeding and leading the people, then the church ought to be faithful and pay them adequately." Double honor can be translated generous pay. The word honor is used honorarium, and it's God's plan that the needs of his servants, his pastors, be met by their local churches, and God will bless the churches that are faithful to his servants. And if a church is not faithful, God will provide through other means, but the church misses out on the blessing. Or they may move the pastor somewhere else. So it's important for us to be able to be a blessing to our pastor. And the scripture says, out of the four types of soil, one of them produced. That was the good soil. But out of the one type, the good soil, only one third of them was operating at its full capacity. It said some 30, some 60, and some hundredfold. Yes, we thank God for the 30, but guess what? There's 70% more that we can do. Amen, somebody. Yes, we can thank God for the 60%, but there's 40% more that we can do. And if we're not careful, we can become discouraged that I'm doing my 100. Why isn't anybody else doing as much as I am? But it's an heart issue. Amen, somebody. But to avoid being discouraged, Pastor, the reason why you made it is because you remember who you're doing it for. You're not doing it for the people, but you're doing it to please your heavenly Father. So, first point, not only do we have to avoid the threat of discouragement, but secondly, we have to avoid the temptation against discriminating or being biased against other people. We have to, first of all, avoid the threat of discouragement, but secondly, avoid the temptation against discriminating or being biased. You have to overcome the temptation of being partial. Amen, somebody. And the sower knew this field, and in his years of cultivating the field, he knew which parts of the field would produce and which parts wouldn't. But every year he still continues to work the entire field, although he knew that all parts of the field wouldn't produce what it was supposed to produce. We must avoid the temptation for us to only focus on those that love us and not disregard those that are haters. Because we have a tendency, let's be honest. If I know you love me, I'm going to go all out for you. But it's intended. God wants us to still love those that are trying to plot against you. Amen, somebody. It shows growth. He wants you to love those pain in the butt type of people. Amen. And the reason why you might be quiet, because you might be one of the irritating people. He wants us to love the irritating people that cannot stand you. The people that you know are plotting and talking against you, but you still got to love them anyhow. God wants you to still minister to them as well. And if we're going to be honest, it's hard. That's easier said than done. Amen, somebody. God wants us to not only love the lovers, but those love the haters. Those stubborn, stiff-necked, foolish, problematic people. God wants you to still love them anyhow. The soil that never produced always requires the most work. I'm in a challenge right now, personally. I know at my job, I know that the person above me has been dogging me. I know it. But I have to still smile in this person's face and work together, knowing that this person is trying to keep me from elevating. But the thing is, the person above her wants me to be elevated. And this person that's blocking me cannot stop with the person above them. Y'all missing it. The person above them wants to elevate. So it doesn't matter who gets in your way. If you do it God's way, as long as he will give you the increase. I know what I'm talking about. And I'm a little weary because this person may watch this message. But guess what? God had it all the situation. But you can't stop what God has put in his place. You can't stop it. I don't care what you do behind the scenes. I don't care if you text him right now. God sees the text. He sees you. Hey, he sees the plots and the planning. But God will give the increase. That's good news to know that God will increase wherever he's
crushed you. And ain't no demon in hell can stop it from rising up. No demon. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what they say. God has the final say. And that should encourage somebody, no matter when you loving the ones that are stiff-necked, problematic people. Guess what? God is still going to get the increase because you did your part. And in spite of the soil not working and producing, the sower never stopped working on the field and worked on every part of the field the same. He didn't discriminate. He wasn't biased. Still worked on every part of the field. So how did the sower, our pastor, keep loving every part of the field? Because he remembered that the field was the Lord's and not his. We're just responsible for the place and the position that God has placed us in. So when you get frustrated about where you are, what situation you're in, what it looks like, you got to remember who placed you where he placed you. It's not yours. It's not your job. It's not yours. It's not your church. This is my ministry. No, it's the Lord's. And when you take your mind off of this is my money, and I give it to the Lord to bless the man of God, watch what God does. Just watch it. I dare you to watch what he does with his money. With his position, with his place that he's placed. Watch what he does. Amen, somebody. So not only do we things we need to overcome, not only number one, avoid the threat of discouragement. Not only number two, we got to avoid the temptation of discriminating. Number three, we have to avoid the tendency of basing our success on digits or numbers. For some reason, in our church jargon or whatever, we always seem to measure success on how many people you have. You tell when you go to such and such church, how many people do you have? How modern is the church? Are you on Zoom? Are you going live? What are you doing at your church? And we think that if the church has these amenities and features, that the church is better or more successful. And on the contrary, suggesting that the church that is smaller or has some things that need to be updated is failing or unsuccessful. And I'm here to tell you that bigger isn't always better. Because there are some people that join large congregations so that they can hide in the crowd. And they can continue to do their own thing and not be held accountable. You see, large churches can symbolize growth, but they can also symbolize an infection. And a lot of times people run to other churches and don't realize that you just ran into another infection or infected place. And guess what? You're going to end up being infected by what's going on. Not even knowing you flock there. Everybody's going here not realizing that there's an infection going on. And now you end up being affected. But if that doesn't infect you, it then infects other people around you. Infects and affects other people around you. There are many pastors of these larger churches that are preaching soft, as pastor would say, theology. They want to preach that God wants to bless you real good. And he does. And that everything you touch, God will bless and honor it. If they preach out of context and preach whatever is good for business.
Somebody still needs to know that God loves you, but he hates the sin. Somebody needs to know that. Somebody needs to know that God is not pleased with your lifestyle. You can't just do any and everything that you want to do. Somebody needs to know that. Somebody needs to know that in this world you shall have tribulation. You see, you got to understand that God is holy. And he has standards and rules that we need to follow. And if we choose not to, people need to know that there are consequences for your actions. Somebody needs to know that all have sinned. Not y'all, but all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. ABC, we're blessed because Pastor, God uses Pastor to break down the word so plainly that we can digest it and apply it to our lives. And if you haven't grown, it's not the seed that's the issue. It's not the sower that's the issue. It's you're the issue. Your heart is the problem. And Pastor, First Lady, God wants you to know that he adds by subtract. John 15 says the vine dresser prunes in order for us to produce much fruit. And when you're on the brink of a breakthrough, when God is about to enlarge your territory and experience and expand your areas of influence, but also your affluence, God will remove people. He will remove places. He will remove things right before he blesses you and takes you to another level. And it's because we don't, or because of this principle, we don't understand, and we often struggle and try to figure out, God, what in the world is going on? Every time there's some momentum, you seem to remove somebody else. Lord, what in the world are you doing? But I want to let you know that God is more concerned about you bearing fruit than you are with being comfortable. He's more concerned about you bearing fruit than you being comfortable. You see, God controls the results. Sometimes we try to get in God's business when you need to focus on right here. Amen, somebody. And when you ever get on a plane, you take on a carry-on bag. And you bring also, you know, before you do it, you go to the check-in, the suitcase, right? And the suitcase must be under a certain size and weight. And if the suitcase doesn't meet any qualifications, if you once you sit it there, and right now, what is it, $50 a bag? That's something crazy. And if it doesn't fit the specifications or it's too heavy, you got to either take some things off out of the suitcase and leave it, or you might have to leave the whole suitcase behind. Pastor, everyone can't go where God is taking ABC because they don't fit. It doesn't mean that they're bad people, but they don't fit for where God is taking us. And some watching right now are saying, I've heard this over and over again, anniversary after anniversary after anniversary. But you don't understand that it's not our timing, it's God's timing. And we know that Kairos time is God's appointed time. But in my studies, I saw something else. It's something called a Kairos moment. It's the time when the Holy Spirit is moving and ready to act. A Kairos moment is an invitation to cooperate with the Holy Spirit right now. Be not weary in well doing, but in due season you will reap if you faint not. And I'm here to tell you, Pastor First Lady, due season is right now. It's something about that word now that makes us feel better. It alleviates all the anxiety because I don't have to wait anymore. Guess what? I'm going to get it now. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, but right now. And that's why the scripture says now unto him, right now. He is able to do exceedingly or abundantly above all we have asked or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, Corinthians 9:10 says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Now, 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, for he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Isaiah 43:19 says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? It will make way a wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power. It's something about that word, now. So, Pastor, I want to encourage you, don't wait until the battle is over. Shout now. Don't wait until tomorrow. You got to shout right now. Right now is the moment. Today is the day. Right now. And I'm just here to encourage you, Pastor, at ABC. Right now is our moment. And when God comes through, don't get big-headed, but give him the glory, praise, and honor. Let's do his name. Let's give the Lord some praise. He is worthy to be praised. And the song says that I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I would serve him until I die. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Let's give the Lord some praise. He's worthy. Thank you, God. We worship you. Thank you. You're worthy, God. Don't wait until it's over. Shout right now. We thank you, God. We worship you, God. We praise you, God.